Welcome to the Deep Dive. We break down the operational playbooks from some of the world's most successful outfits and, you know, distill them into knowledge you can actually use.
And today we're really getting into objectives and key results, OKRs. It's this goal setting system that frankly powered hypergrowth at places like Google, Intel, huge names.
Yeah, the sources we looked at really painted as this sharp tool for, well, world-class execution.
Exactly. And I think the core idea behind it really resonates. Ideas are easy. Execution is everything. It's all about closing that gap.
Got a great story, too, wasn't it? It didn't actually start at Google, right? That's just where it really took off.
That's right. Andy Grove pioneered it back Intel way back in the 70s. But the pivotal moment was 1999. John Doerr Grove mentored him. He walks into Google.
Which was tiny then. Just a handful of people.
Yeah, maybe 30 people. And the story goes, he pitched Larry Page and Sergey Brin, brilliant guys, but, you know, needing management structure, he pitched them OKRs around a ping pong table, their boardroom table.
Classic startup stuff. But it stuck.
Oh, absolutely. Larry Page himself said OKRs helped Google achieve 10x growth many times over. I mean, if you're trying to scale, that's a pretty big deal.
Okay, so let's nail down the mechanics then. What exactly is an objective and what's a key result? Let's break that down.
Right. It's actually a pretty clean structure designed to cut through fuzzy thinking. So the objective, the O, that's what you want to achieve. Big picture.
Got it. Significant, action-oriented.
Yeah.
Inspirational, even.
Exactly. It sets the direction. And then the key results, the KRs, they're the H-O-W.
The practical side. Yeah. How you measure getting there.
Precisely. They're the benchmarks. Yeah. Specific, time-bound, measurable, verifiable. Like Marissa Mayer said, it's not a key result unless it has a number. You hit all your KRs, you should, in theory, achieve the objective.
That clarity, that focus.
Yeah.
Really feels like the first big unlock of the system, focus.
Absolutely, because if you try to focus on everything, well, you focus on nothing, right? And this is often the hardest part for companies, honestly. The less is more idea. It takes real discipline from leaders to say no. To stop doing things.
So the system forces that choice.
It does. You limit yourself, the whole organization, down to individuals to maybe 3 to 5 objectives per cycle. And each of those only gets, say, 5 or fewer KRs. Keeps you from spreading too thin.
Okay, but we absolutely have to bring in the cautionary note here. The sources were pretty clear about the dark side. Goals gone wild.
Yeah, that Harvard Business School paper, It's essential reading alongside this stuff. Because look, goals are powerful, but if the targets are just ruthless or too narrow,
things go wrong. Badly wrong.
Horribly. Think about the Ford Pinto fuel tanks or Sears Auto Centers just gouging customers. And I mean, Wells Fargo opening millions of fake accounts just to hit sales numbers. Yeah. It's chilling.
It really is. It shows that just having a metric isn't enough. Mm-hmm. The pressure, the context, the ethics, it all matters hugely.
Right. OKRs are a tool, a powerful one, but you need guardrails. Still, when used correctly, even under intense pressure, it can be amazing. Like Intel's Operation Crush back in 1980.
Yes. The Motorola fight. High stakes.
Existential, really, for the microprocessor market.
So what was the objective there? How did OKRs help them structure that attack?
Well, the objective was bold. Super ambitious. Defeat Motorola by hitting 2,000 design wins. That was like 50% more than the year before. A massive stretch.
Wow.
Andy Grove's rallying cry was apparently quite intense, but the OKR framework gave them the structure to actually do it.
But how, I mean, coordinating thousands of people in a $1 billion company, how do just a few goals manage that?
Well, the main objective crushed Motorola, basically unified everyone, but the key results broke that huge 2,000 win target down. Sales had KRs for specific accounts. Engineering had KRs for hitting chip delivery dates. Marketing had KRs for support materials.
Okay. So everyone could see their piece of the puzzle.
Exactly. Everyone knew how their daily work, their specific tasks, rolled up to that one big goal. It let Intel, like the source says, turn on a dime, and they won.
That coordination piece flows perfectly into the next big capabilities, right?
Yeah.
Alignment and accountability.
Yeah. Superpowers 2 and 3, basically. Once you have focus, you need everyone pulling together. And that's where transparency is key.
Making the goals public.
Right. Everyone's OKRs from the CEO all the way down are shared, visible. It just smashes silos because you see how everything connects. Product sees engineering's goals. Marketing sees sales's. It clarifies the whole game plan.
Okay, that makes sense. for busting silos between departments. But what about the direction? Is it all just top-down mandates?
No, not ideally. Not in a healthy setup. Sure, the top sets the overall strategy, the big picture context. But the sources really emphasize that maybe half the OKRs should bubble up from the bottom or come in sideways from teams.
What was that?
Because often the best ideas, the real innovation, it comes from the people actually doing the work, you know, the folks in the trenches. A hybrid approach gets better buy-in and captures stuff the execs might miss.
Right. And that transparency, that visibility, it feeds right into accountability, the tracking part. This is where the data comes in.
Absolutely. You need those periodic check-ins, the objective grading. And crucially, OKRs are meant to be guardrails, not chains.
Meaning they can change.
Yes. If a goal becomes irrelevant, maybe the market shifts. Or like with that Reminda example, their payment prototype just didn't work. You don't just stubbornly keep chasing it. You revise it or you scrap it. You fail fast on the goal itself, not just the project.
Okay. And there's a specific grading system for that accountability.
Yeah. Usually a 0.0 to 1.0 scale. Simple color coding too. Red for 0.0 to 0.3, yellow for 0.4 to 0.6, and green for 0.7 to 1.0. Makes progress easy to see at a glance.
And this isn't just for tech startups, you mentioned. The Gates Foundation. That's fascinating, applying this to philanthropy.
Yeah, they used OKRs to manage that huge initial $20 billion fund, fighting devastating diseases.
How do you measure something like that, though? It's not profit. What were their KRs?
They used metrics focused on real-world impact, like DAILIES disability-adjusted life years. It's a way to quantify the years of healthy life lost to disease. So instead of just tracking dollars spent, they focused on, you know, are we actually reducing the burden of disease?
That's rigorous.
Absolutely. And apparently Bill Gates would sometimes turn down grant proposals if the goals weren't clear enough, weren't measurable enough within that kind of framework.
Okay, so we've got focus, alignment, tracking. Mm-hmm. That brings us to the fourth capability. Stretching for amazing, the whole 10x thing.
Right. And here we need to distinguish between two types of OKRs.
Okay.
You've got your committed OKRs. These are your bread and butter operational goals, things you absolutely expect to hit 100%, like sales quotas, product launch dates, the essentials.
Standard operating procedure.
Exactly. But then you have the aspirational OKRs, the stretch goals, BHAs, big, hairy, audacious goals, the moonshots.
And this is where that Google rule comes in, the one that feels different.
Yeah, it's kind of radical, really. Pioneered by Larry Page. The idea is, for these aspirational goals, you're actually expected to only hit maybe 60 or 70%.
Only 60, 70%. So not hitting 100% is good.
Well, the thinking is, if you consistently hit 100% on your stretch goals, you weren't aiming high enough. You played it too safe. This creates psychological safety. It frees people up to take massive swings without fear of being punished if they don't quite make it. That's where real breakthroughs happen.
Like the Chrome browser story. That seemed like a classic example.
Totally. Sundar Pichai's team set this moonshot goal. Make JavaScript, you know, the engine of web apps, run 10 times faster. Make web apps feel like desktop apps.
Which seemed impossible at the time, I imagine.
Pretty much. But that ambition, that 10x target, forced them to completely rethink the engine.
And that led to V8.
Exactly, the V8 engine. And get this, within 2 years, it wasn't just 10x faster. It was more than 20 times faster than the competition.
Wow. So aiming for 10x delivered 20x.
Sometimes, yeah. Even falling short on a truly audacious goal can produce incredible results.
Okay, or YouTube. That goal was just mind-boggling. 1 billion hours of watch time per day.
Yeah, Susan Wojcicki set that as a 4-year stretch OKR, a 10x increase from where they were. Imagine being on the infrastructure team hearing that.
Terrifying, I bet. How could they even handle that scale?
Well, that was the point. Because the objective was so clear, so measurable, 1 billion hours daily, it became this absolute North Star for the whole organization. Everyone knew that was the target. It forced fundamental redesigns across Google's infrastructure just to make it possible. The clarity drove the execution, however audacious.
So these four things, focus, align, track, stretch, they provide the skeleton, the structure, the clarity, the ambition. But the sources really hammer this home. OKRs alone aren't enough. They need a human touch.
Absolutely. They need what the system calls CFRs, continuous performance management. It's what gives the OKR structure its human voice.
CFRs. Okay, what does that stand for?
C is for conversations, real, rich, two-way chats between managers and their people. F is for feedback, timely, specific, and importantly, bi-directional. And R is for recognition, actually appreciating effort and contributions, not just outcomes.
Okay, that sounds a bit like performance reviews, but there's a key difference emphasized, right? Separating OKR grades from money.
Yes, crucial. Absolutely critical. You have to divorce OKR scores from compensation, raises, bonuses, all that.
Why is that separation so vital?
Because it goes right back to the goals gone wild problem. If hitting that aspirational 70% is directly tied to your bonus, what are you going to do?
Set easier goals? Sandbag it.
Exactly. You'll sandbag. You'll set lower, safer stretch goals you know you can probably hit just to guarantee the payout. Mm. Separating them preserves the integrity of aiming high. It stops people from gaming the system just for money.
Okay, that makes total sense. So if the grade isn't tied to pay, where does the motivation, the development, the reward come from?
That's where the CFRs come back in. Those conversations and feedback sessions become the place for coaching, for development, for discussing overall performance and impact. Raises and bonuses are based on that holistic contribution, not just hitting a specific number on a moonshot OKR.
Got it. So the OKRs provide the structure and clarity.
And the CFRs provide the ongoing support, the feedback, the recognition. Together, they build a really positive culture.
A culture built on
accountability, sure, but also teamwork and, really importantly, psychological safety. Google actually studied this with their Project Aristotle. They found that high-performing teams need clarity and structure, which OKRs provide, plus that feeling of safety where it's okay to take risks, maybe even fail sometimes. CFRs help build that trust.
So we've seen how this combination, OKRs plus CFRs, gives organizations, big ones like Alphabet or the Gates Foundation, small ones too, the clarity and the framework to really go after huge goals.
Yeah, it grounds that ambition in real accountability, real transparency. It empowers teams to aim for what seems impossible, but in a structured way where everyone knows how their work contributes.
We talked a lot about those audacious goals, like YouTube aiming for 1 billion hours, seeming impossible at first. But that stretch, aiming for the seemingly unreachable, that's what drives growth. So for you listening, if stretching helps reveal what we're capable of, what's your personal 10x growth goal right now? And what are the measurable key results you track to get there this cycle?
The tools are definitely sharp. Now it's really up to you to decide how to use them.
We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.